So these past couple of weeks, we've been, you know, talking with Audrey, and she's been a bit under the weather and not feeling great. And we're like, have you gotten the COVID test? Because, you know, that's obviously something that's on everyone's mind. And so last week, Audrey went and got the COVID test. And sure enough, she got the results back. But it took a little while, right? It took, what, five days or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, 5-6 days.
And the results came back. And Audrey, what did they say?
I was positive for COVID. And, you know, we've been talking off the mic a little bit, kind of how you said, I just didn't really understand that that's what was happening because it was so similar to a head cold for me.
So, I mean, you're young and you're healthy, and you've actually kind of been on a kick recently where you've gone sort of above and beyond, where you've been changing your diet and you haven't been drinking and everything mm-hmm. else. And this is before any of the COVID stuff actually, you know, came to fruition. But let's talk about how this actually physically made you feel for a moment, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, you know, the symptoms have varied for people that we've heard, you know, around the world, really. So you and your husband both positive for COVID, and
yes,
the symptoms for both of you, were they similar? Were they different? And how severe would you rate them?
They were the same. Our symptoms, and I wrote them down because I didn't want to forget anything, because it was over a 2-week time period, right? Where we, from start to finish, they varied so much. You know, things would come and go, things would get worse, some things would, you know, just become phantom, like where it was like, you know, where you would have a heavy chest, then it turned to like almost a feeling of heartburn. It was so bizarre because over the 2-week span, you know, we just didn't know what we were going to feel tomorrow. To answer your question, my husband and my symptoms, they were the exact same. He ended up getting sick a week later after me. But the start of it, like day one, it legit, I think I told you guys, I thought that I turned my AC too low because I woke up feeling, you know, the stuffy nose, kind of like the head pressure. I was just like, oh, this is just straight up congestion. But then like the next few days, I started, like I said, feeling it in my chest and then had that dry, congested feeling. But my nose just never stopped dripping. Like I always felt like I actually was walking around at one point in my house with just 2 tissues stuffed up my nose because it was just dripping all over the place. And you can't blow your nose because it's so stopped up. So
I mean, your husband, you said
it was stuffed up at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
How awful, right? But
yeah,
you said that your husband had the same symptoms. I remember. And was it, this might have been before you guys actually got COVID, but you said that he had like some flash fevers. Isn't that right? Where it was like these weird spikes. Was that before you guys got it? Or do you think that maybe was
before? And we can't, I don't want to attribute that, but yes, he was having like random 10-hour flash, like spiked fevers, but we're not really sure if that is attributed to COVID because he did get tested whenever he was having those fevers and nothing has popped up. Like he tested negative. So we're not really sure if that's what that was.
But does he have the antibodies
correlated to?
Well, so that's the question, right? I mean, for me, if I had COVID, and I mean, you guys are both through it now, thankfully, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's in the rear view. Do you feel kind of like you have a superpower? Because there's a lot of people that are walking around scared that they're going to get COVID, but you've been through it now. And if you have the antibodies, then I mean, that's got to be a huge relief.
So, I mean, everybody obviously varies in how they feel during COVID. And, you know, I was kind of talking with you yesterday about this, Dave, that it hurt. It sucked. Nobody enjoys feeling sick. But I mean, I was working through the entire process. It felt like a head cold for me. You know, the weirdest part about it was losing my sense of taste and smell. And, you know, whenever I blinked it was uncomfortable, but that was like the worst of it. You know, the second week I was able to get up, get ready, you know, put on makeup. I felt congested, you know, so knowing that that's what it feels like, I think that it holds some power to know like, okay, you know, I now know what COVID feels like for being a 28-year-old something who is healthy. You know what I mean? Like I now know what my husband went through, and it was the exact same thing. Actually, he might have experienced it less than me because he was doing, you know, garage workouts while congested. So, you know, I think that, you know, not necessarily, I don't feel like I'm super, like I have some superpower, but I think that there is some power in knowing what it feels like.
And honestly, it's actually kind of a relief. I mean, obviously there's a really heavy side to this. It definitely can kill you, but also for younger, healthier people, you're very, very unlikely still, just based on the numbers that are out there, to die from it. And you're saying that you didn't even really feel it that badly as far as other illnesses that you've had over the course of your life. I mean, would you categorize this as better, worse, about the same as a traditional flu? Were you more uncomfortable, less uncomfortable? How do you rank it?
So I've had, I mean, the worst sickness I've ever felt was a flu a few years ago. And that really took me down. This was awful. As far as like, nobody likes being sick's concerned, but it was tolerable. And I don't say that negating anybody else who has been sick and has had it really, really awful, but this is what this virus is, right? There's so many variations of it. And for me personally, the symptoms that I had, like I said, I was able to get up. I mean, I didn't sound great on air, but you know, I didn't ever feel like, you know what, I need to take a day off from this, because I truly thought until I lost my sense of taste and smell that I just had a really weird head cold.
Well, and that's how, I think, how we all felt too. I mean, because we talked about this on the air, and you could tell that you were a little congested. But then that one day when you were like, "Hey, I lost my sense of taste and smell over the weekend," we're all like, "Oh man,
yeah, that's because that,
that's like the telltale sign, right?" So that's
and the weirdest part about it is that weekend. So the first week, so from Friday to Sunday was the worst. So I mean, it almost like, It went up and then it plateaued on awful, and then it came down. And on that second week, whenever I was coming down with the symptoms, and actually that it was the week leading up to whenever I actually ended up get tested, I was scared that Saturday that I wasn't going to test positive, because the only symptoms that I had had on that day and the end of week two was like this burning sensation, like almost like the feeling of always needing to sneeze, but you can't sneeze. And that was really it, that and congestion. And I had full energy by that point, but I still tested positive. So
Stags over on Twitch said, "How long did it last? Was it 2 weeks? More than that? How long?
It was almost 2 weeks and like a couple days. So I started feeling symptomatic the 19th of June, and then so last week would have been Monday was the start of no symptoms. Yeah.
Yeah, and this one from Kylie, glad you guys are okay and glad you guys are still at home too. I mean, because we talked, what was it, a handful of weeks ago about going back to the studio and everything else. And I mean, we would all have it if that was the case. But the more and more that this continues to spread, I just don't know how avoidable it is, you know. And so hearing a story like yours that, you know, you're able to get through it and You felt like you had, you know, a head cold, but that was the extent of it, is actually, I think, really encouraging. Because, you know, I mean, being scared of it is one thing, but there's a lot of that, you know, like people call it fear porn and everything else. I mean, there's a lot of stories of doom and gloom out there right now. And I'm just glad to hear that, you know, for you at least, it didn't really affect you even to the point where you needed to take a day off from doing the radio show.
Well, and this isn't to like kind of like scare, but to your point, Dave, is that, you know, I don't really know how avoidable it is, because my husband and I, the most that we have been doing is going, you know, to work out, and whether or not it's in a gym or hiking. You know what I mean? Like, we have been quarantined. We have just been with ourselves. Like, we have not gone to restaurants, you know, or like once or twice maybe. But, you know, we're not having parties, and we're wearing masks, and we're doing the things. I truly and honestly, I think I got it at the gym, because that's the only places that I go outside of grocery store.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I did get it from the grocery store, you know, we're wiping down our groceries and I feel like they're immaculately clean. And I do feel that about my gym. But I mean, there's only so much that you can do for whenever you're going in between things and you're touching the sweaty stuff. And, you know, there's only so much clean that you can get from the person who was just there 2 seconds before you. So, you know, and I'm not knocking them for being open. Everybody's following what's mandated for the rules of, you know, of phase two. You know, or, you know, just in the reopening process. So, you know, I took that chance, I got it. And thankfully it didn't end in anything more than feeling like I had a head cold and lost my sense of taste and smell. And that was the worst, not being able to taste food.
Well, this
Let
just reconfirms that I will not be going to gyms anytime soon.
Good. Thank you. I mean, I'm sure that you have your bag packed and you're ready to go.
Today was going to be the day. Today,
the diet was going to start on Monday, and you were going to get things going. Fresh week.
What about the Peloton, in your house?
Yeah, my wife uses it. It's not safe.
Can't be too safe. Yep, got to stay away from that thing.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after to the tone.
Independence Day, and I got a question for you guys. In your opinion, who made the bigger sacrifice to save the world? Was it Randy Quaid in Independence Day, or was it Bruce Willis when he sacrificed himself?
Message deleted.
He's talking about Bruce Willis. Jeez. In Armageddon.
Yeah.
To save humanity. You know, if this was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when these movies were out, I mean, obviously, I think Independence Day has been out since like 94, so like 26 years now.
I think it was 24 years because I saw a bunch of people paying tribute to it on the 4th of July.
I would have said Randy Quaid, but I feel like Randy Quaid has just gone so far off the rails that I can't give him any credit for anything at this point. Also, why are you discounting what Harry Connick Jr. gave as well? You know, I mean, he was the modern day goose.
Right. No, see, I mean, Randy Quaid, if I'm choosing between those two, I mean, don't get me wrong, like Bruce Willis staying back, like he saves the world. Randy Quaid flew into that alien ship's butthole, if I remember correctly. I mean, that
right
was
in there.
Right up there. I mean, that's if you're going tip to sphincter of whether it's two ships or not, doesn't matter. That's the ultimate sacrifice. So Randy Quaid gets the nod from me.
Wait, so I don't know if this is true or not, but on our Twitch, Cleve said Randy Quaid came back in the sequel. No, there's no. Did anybody actually see the Independence Day sequel? Because
I forgot that there was a sequel.
There was a sequel recently.
Yeah, Will Smith wasn't even in it, right?
They killed Will Smith off in like an article, you know, like a newspaper headline. I know Jeff Goldblum came back, but I thought there's no way Randy Quaid survived the alien ship butthole, right?
There's no way. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And also Randy Quaid, I mean. His character was designed to die that entire time, right? You know what I'm talking about. When you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, this dude dying. Like this guy is going to be dead before this movie is over for sure. And Randy Quaid, in both the movie and real life, seems like that guy.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I got my dog 4 beds. We still have all of them, and they're positioned all over the house, but he refuses to use them. Nope, just the couch.
Message deleted.
Yes.
Yeah,
true.
Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Couch is not way bigger than a dog bed, man. You got to get him a dog couch. I know people who have dog couches.
Well, we have a 6-foot beanbag in the man game room thing, and Blue, who is literally 12 inches long, that is his favorite spot. So it's like a massive dog bed.
They just want to be close to their human, man. That's kind of cute, yeah. Right?
What you need to do is set a precedent. You need to start sleeping in the dog beds, and then your dog will see, and it'll become a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm. Good plan, Mahoney.
Please leave a message after the tone.
My daughter's middle name is Sky, first name Lucy. It's a little Beatles throwback. Figure it out.
Message deleted.
Yeah, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Lucy in the
Sky with Diamonds. Named her after a song about acid. Cool. Lucy.
What?
I will say Lucy is a name that you don't encounter
LSD, man.
very often. I don't know if I've ever met a Lucy in person.
I know two little Lucys. Like one's like maybe 10 now, and the other one's like just a blob of meat. Like she's not even a year yet, I don't think.
Like hasn't formed.
She's still just like blob.
Baby blob.
You get the occasional smile and you act like they just want a Pulitzer. You're just like, hey.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show present, Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout?
So even though Audrey has had the vid, she has still been just whooping up on Mahoney over these last few weeks. And when I say few weeks, I really mean these last few months. But Are You Smarter Than a Community College Dropout? Mahoney versus Audrey, going to be asked the same questions today. There is a total of 6 questions, so there will be one pass should you choose to use it. Mahoney, you know how this works. Get up, leave the room, no cheating. And for those of you that are watching along today and
me not
are,
cheat?
Farewell,
yes, you not cheat.
Cheater.
I have never
yes,
cheated
you not
this
cheat.
Once,
and
I've
always
never,
cheat.
That's
and all you
never
do.
Try
is
to,
cheat,
you never
cheat,
try to
cheat,
collude
cheat.
With me, whereas you're always colluding with Audrey, and I feel like that's sexist.
You wrote all of the answers
hates,
on your hand before
men.
The test. Dave hates men.
No, I hate you, and you just happen to be a man. All right, so if you're watching along today, no wrong answers only in the chat, please. As we go through this again, Audrey, you do have one pass should you choose to use it today, okay?
All right.
Question number one, in which ocean is the Bermuda Triangle located? Which ocean?
The Atlantic.
Yeah, Atlantic is right. Yep. Very nice. Yep, very nice. Question number two, who wrote the classic horror book, It?
Stephen King.
Yes, two for two.
Almost
doing
Spielberg.
Great.
Oops.
Haven't even used your pass yet. What vegetable is known to help you see better in the dark?
Carrots.
3-4-3. This is easy. Still have a pass if you want to use it. How many days are in a leap year?
Oh, pass.
Okay. Good pass. Good pass. 366 is what you'd be looking for there. 366.
Oh, the extra. I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. So you have you're still 3-for-3 with one pass in there. Two more questions to go. You must answer both of them. At what age did Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, and Janis Joplin all die?
Oh, is it 24?
It is not. It is not.
No.
27.
Is it 25? Oh,
27. Yeah.
She would have got there.
Yeah.
Is it one more up?
A few more guesses.
Nope.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
Keep
okay.
going. All right. And fifth and final question. You have three correct. What is it called when birds fly south to warmer climates for the winter?
Migration?
Yeah. Great. Oh, okay. 4 out of 5.
Good
well
round.
Done.
It's a good round,
yeah.
Audrey. Good
very
round.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Poop.
So now Mahoney's going to come in and probably complain about how long that took or whatever his excuse
or
is today.
Or yes,
yeah,
yes,
it's always something wrong. Questions are stupid, whatever it may be. Where is he?
Probably getting a Pop-Tart.
That literally happened last week. We're like, what? He knows that this is going to be a very short amount of time where he has to be out of the room. And he literally went and got a Pop-Tart, and then while we were doing it, you could hear him. He was holding the Pop-Tart off camera and away from his microphone as much as possible. But you could tell that he didn't have the self-control to not open his Pop-Tart. While
oh,
what are you sit down? What is taking you so long?
Coffee boy recently. Who are
what
you?
What is going
You're
on with you?
Human.
This is not snack time. You don't have time to go get a Pop-Tart or a coffee.
I got my wife on standby. My wife made me a coffee.
Well,
I thought it was nice of her.
Is that a Latte Larry's cup? I love that. That's great.
That's awesome.
Whoa. It's a
big fan of Curb.
That's right. It's a spite cup of coffee. Despite your collusion that was happening while I was over there getting my coffee.
Okay. These questions are very hard today, Mahoney. I hope you came prepared to cheat.
Okay.
There is one pass, should you choose to use it, good luck. Which ocean is the Bermuda Triangle located in?
The Atlantic.
Atlantic is correct. One for
Pink
one.
Who wrote the Bermuda, which I would love to
Who wrote the classic horror book, It?
Stephen King.
Yes, 2-for-2. What vegetable is known to help you see better in the dark?
Carrots?
Yep, carrots. How many days are in a leap year?
366.
366 is correct. Wow. 4-for-4.
Wow.
You do have a pass, should you choose to use it. At what age did Kurt Cobain, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, and Janis Joplin all die?
I know it's one of two answers, and I can't remember if it's...
You do have a pass?
I'm going to pass, but I would say 20. It's 26 or 27.
You were close. 27 is the correct answer. 27, yeah. But you used your pass, so no worries.
I can't remember if it was one or the other.
Final question. What is it called when birds fly south for warmer climates in the winter?
Migration.
Migration is correct. Mahoney, you have gone 5-for-5. Audrey only got 4 correct. So as it turns out, Audrey's superpowers only exist when she has COVID-19. And now that she's passed it, you lose.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So crowds are coming back. I mean, 4th of July weekend here in Las Vegas, pretty busy. A lot of people coming through town, and they are seeing an increase of travelers and residents that are going down to the popular destinations on the Strip. Does it surprise you guys to see as many people coming in and out of Las Vegas as we are right now, considering, we really saw the number of passengers through McCarran plummet? I mean, just to give you an example of where that was, from March to April alone, the number of passengers at McCarran plummeted from more than 2 million to 152,000. Now, granted, that's April. Ooh. When literally everything was locked down, right? I mean, there was, but I mean, to
people
go from 2 million to 152,000, what's that?
people still cared in April.
People still cared in April?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, where we are in July now, I think that most people are like, well.
Well, yeah, I mean. Well,
yeah, they were going to travel. I'm saying, like, people were still, you know, I mean, you're in the early stages, and people were still trying to do their best to do what they could. Now, I think it's you know, like I said, the Pandora's box has been unleashed, and there's no putting it back in.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of people coming through town, and I mean it's a good thing for the economy. I just hope that that it's sustainable. You know, we're seeing the cases grow, but as we talked about a lot on this show, I mean there's people that get mad at us every day because they say that we're talking about COVID spreading. That's just a fact. But the other fact is that if you're younger and healthier, you are very, very unlikely to die from COVID-19, and that's
unless you have a pre-existing condition. Yeah.
Yeah, right. 537 deaths here in the state of Nevada since this all began, and it's almost all people that are over 70, and over 60 is a fairly large group as well, but over 70 is where it really hits. 328 deaths for people that are 70-plus years old, 109 deaths for 60 to 69. So even if you're south of 60 years old, there's been 48 deaths for people between 50 and 59, and for people under the age of 50, between 40 and 49, only 27 deaths there. And then from there, 6 deaths for people 30 to 39, 3 deaths for people 20 to 29, and only 2 deaths for people 10 to 19 years old. And not to discount any of those numbers, because those are real people, obviously. But at the same time, just know that if, you know, you're younger and healthier, I mean, Audrey literally just went through COVID-19 and didn't even know that she had COVID-19. So the idea that it's like a death sentence is just not true either.
Ellie,
but we are seeing the cases go up significantly.
Ellie on our Twitch page said, my hospital's numbers of ICU patients with COVID tripled from my shift on Sunday to my shift last Friday. So, yeah. I mean, there
the numbers are definitely on the rise.
Yeah, I mean, and we haven't hit capacity here in Nevada yet. You know, I mean, you're seeing down in Tampa that they are at capacity, and that's where there's a problem when you are at
where you have to backpedal.
When you are at capacity and people who can't get the treatment that they need are unable to. That's when we see the huge amounts of deaths like we saw in New York when the places are just flooded. You know,
let's backtrack it a month. I mean, just to put these in real numbers, on June 6th, in the ICU in the state of Nevada, there was 71 people that were in the ICU. And now as of this weekend on July 4th, which is the last reported number, 226. So, I mean, we are seeing a huge increase of numbers. The people on ventilators as of July 4th, 99, whereas back on June 6th, it was at 42. So the numbers are going up, but like you said, we're not at capacity, and that's a good thing. But like Sean just mentioned over on Facebook, the problem is that there's also not enough nurses. So, I mean, when you start to get close to capacity, it does put a strain on the system, and then other people are going to die as well because they're not able to get the health services that they need.
Ellie chimed in again. She said, it's scary when you hit capacity or the staff starts getting positive too. Once you lose workers, you have less ability. And that's, you know, I mean, and that's why this differs from the flu, you know, and this is why we've, you know, continued to say wear masks and socially distance yourself and be as careful as you can be and wash your hands and ass.
Especially that ass.
But, you know, like, you know, we've never seen a pandemic where we've seen, like, you know, the flu kill as many, you know, frontline workers as we have with COVID, you know, and that's the difference that we're seeing with this around the world versus just normal influenza.
So this is we showed off earlier. We're all very proud that we all still have our fingers after the 4th of July. Did anyone here light off a single firework?
Yes.
Was there any fireworks you did?
Sparkler. I went over to a friend's house.
Yeah.
So one of our mutual friends, Matt Brown. And I'm just going to put him on blast. We were over there. We were playing Fibbage, his wife and him and my wife and myself. And he bought some sparklers from one of the roadside sparkler joints.
Awesome.
And
shop local.
We lit some sparklers. And this son of a bitch almost burned down the house with his sparklers.
With his sparklers?
That's impressive, yeah.
I don't know how it happened, but the sparkler flew out of his hand and hit the tree and got stuck in the tree.
Okay, so I'm guessing alcohol was involved.
No,
he
was sober. Faulty?
Like, I mean, it was just like, I don't know if it like burned his hand or something, and he tossed it, and it, like, the wind caught it and it went up. But like, yeah, he had to rush and get the hose, and yeah, man, it was It was pretty wild.
The tree set to flame, is what you're saying.
Well, no. I mean, it was just there.
Mahoney's just being dramatic. Yeah. But
I did
speaking
see a lot of tree
that,
fires
so,
over the weekend, though.
Well, yeah. You, as well, you should have, right? Las Vegas Fire and Rescue reports that this year's 4th of July was one of the busiest in the department's history. Fire crews responded to 146 reports of fires. Last year, it was 130. So pretty significantly up from last year. But 146 fires what they had to rush out to and try to put out.
Yeah, there was a lot. And this is why I bitch and moan every year about the valley and people shooting off illegal fireworks. Again, you know, that is, sparklers are legal, but the giant mortars are not. Effin' Steffin said, I saw a lot of stimulus checks in the air on the 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, what are you talking about? Those stimulus checks were spent months ago. Who still got some of that $1,200 left?
Yeah. Unless you went straight to the fireworks stand and you just saved them until the 4th of July. But my guess is that you're probably right. I still saw fireworks going off last night. Are you still seeing them around your house? But yeah, sitting there last night watching TV, and I'm like, well, it's now the 5th. But I guess if you got them, shoot them. But
you're breaking the law.
Sean, who works for Fire and Rescue, said 20 calls and 11 fires at my station on the 4th alone.
Nobody listened.
Well, did you see
there
was over in Northtown somebody like legit set their house on fire? Because I don't know how some way they ended up setting off all of their fireworks that were in their garage.
Amazing.
And then your neighbor's house, and then see, this is the problem. If it didn't just affect other people, I have no problem if it doesn't affect other people. But we live in a very dense community that is very dry, and you're shooting explosions or explosives into the air that will come down and that are still burning and that have the potential to catch other people's stuff on fire. I don't give a damn if you burn your own stuff down. Don't burn my stuff. Don't burn somebody else's who didn't sign up for it. That's where I had the problem.
Henry over on Facebook said, I thought my tree was on fire, but it was the shrooms that I was on. The neighbors were laughing hilariously while I was holding a vacuum tube thinking it was a water hose.
You live your best life,
brother,
Henry.
Brother, are you okay? Yeah. You good?
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, so this past weekend, had a great time with the family, went out of town. And, you know, I think a lot more people are probably getting in their cars and they're driving places now, as opposed to, you know, at least for me, you know, like going to the airport and loading three kids onto an airplane seems like just about the worst possible thing that I could think of. Yeah, expensive, and where are we really going to go? A lot of places are still closed down as far as, you know, whether it's amusement parks or whatever around the world.
Wear a mask on the plane?
Well, so, no, they don't, but then you're like, well, I'm exposing my kids. Yeah. You can't put a mask on babies.
Not on a baby, but a four-year-old, maybe?
A four-year-old, yeah, she'll wear a mask. She feels like a little badass wearing a mask. She loves it. But the 18-month-old, there's no chance she's keeping that on, and certainly not the little baby. It's just not safe. But anyway, so we drove out of town, and we were driving back, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but there was a semi that was driving so incredibly recklessly, and you almost never see it, right? Because semis obviously are very dangerous, right? But so I'm driving in the left-hand lane, and there's this car in front of me, but it's relatively slow moving. It's actually at that time probably going on about 5 miles per hour below the speed limit, but it's 75 on the road that I was on. So, you know, it's still going 70 miles per hour. Well, I'm in the left lane, and all of a sudden on my right, this semi comes speeding up and like starts to pass us in the right-hand lane because there was enough space for him to do that. And I was like, what is this guy doing? And I see him turn on his blinker. And I'm like, what is he doing? And he like kind of starts to move a little bit. And so I just slow down. I'm like, what is this guy doing? There was this gold Cadillac in front of us that had a guy that was probably in his 70s or so driving it, and he was by himself, and I don't know if like something had happened back on the road behind us between these two or whatever, but this semi clearly sees him and literally just starts moving over to force him off the road. And I could not believe it. I'd never seen anything
road?
Like
two,
that.
Two-lane?
It's a two-lane road, and so he like forces this guy off the road, who then jams his brakes and ends up slowing down and letting this guy over. And the semi, it like keeps like weaving back and forth and like acting really dangerously. And all of a sudden, he goes off the road himself, like to the left onto the shoulder. I don't know if this is intentional or not. Onto the fast lane shoulder.
That's crazy.
And I don't know if he was doing this intentionally, but when he did that, it just kicked up all of these rocks.
Oh, yeah.
And this rock comes flying and hits my windshield so hard, and it was such a big rock that glass came through. Like, it didn't actually like break all the way through the windshield, but it shattered the windshield.
Well, yeah, the safety glass, but
the safety glass held it in there.
The glass on the inside. That's
and I'm like, man, if that, because it hit like towards the bottom of the windshield. And I'll show you guys a picture for those of you that are watching along. But just to give you an idea of the force of it, like if that had been higher up and it had gone through, like it easily would have taken me out.
Type stuff, yeah.
And then and then, you know, I'm the one driving the car. But I mean, look at what this did to the windshield.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
It's that's like ridiculous. A bullet hitting it. And so I took a bunch of pictures, but I'm like, what do I even do here? Like, do I call 911? Like, do I like dime this guy out?
If he's driving erratically like that, putting other people at risk. Yeah, I mean, I think you do call 911. What did you guys end up doing?
I called 911 and they were sort of like, what's his license plate number? And I'll show you guys, like, because I took a picture of his car, but you can't even see his license plate there because it's so dirty at the bottom. You can kind of make it out, but I did get the name of his company. It's Silvicom, and it's got a tag number on the back of his trailer. So I don't know, like, if I want to chase this down report him or whatever.
First off,
for me is that my kids were in the car, right? So I'm there with my wife and my babies, and like that's why I'm like, hey man, like I don't care like whatever happened between you guys back there on the road, like you can't like weave in a semi all over the place and running people off the road and everything else. Like he was doing it intentionally for sure.
Of course.
Because he was pissed at somebody out there.
Gunn on our Twitch chat said your insurance company will want that if you file a claim, which you 100% you should. Like give it to your insurance company, let them go after this guy, because there's nobody who will fight harder to not spend money than your own insurance company going after somebody else. So like that guy should not be on the road, and you shouldn't have to pay for that, because I imagine
it's a $500 deductible for
that's a lot of money, man. Like I mean, and let alone like, because isn't that one of those fancy like heated windshields that's like super expensive? Didn't you have to like replace that thing one time? It was like $1,500 or something crazy like that.
That was on my car, and yeah, it's got this stupid windshield on it that's got some thing to like keep this like UV protectant or whatever. It's like $2,500 for a windshield. I'm like, get out of here with that nonsense. Can you just put like a cheap one in there?
That's more expensive than most people's first cars. That's ridiculous.
What's the difference? Like it's just a piece of glass. Like just put the crappy one in there. But
I'm so glad you guys are safe. That is crazy. Dude, that happened.
It was the most in, it was with my kids in the car. I mean, because you know we've all had crazy stuff happen, but normally you're driving around by yourself.
Like, had it just been you,
if it was just me, like we would have gotten into it probably. Like I would have followed him and fought him on the side of the road. But
you would have fought him at a truck stop.
That's right. I would have kicked your ass in a Flying J, you son of a gun.
Tipsy or toddler.
So over the 4th of July weekend, if you're hanging out with people that had a little bit too much to drink, you know how you sometimes have that friend or friends or everyone that just ends up losing the ability to form full sentences because they drank too much? Well, that's what this game is all about. It's trying to figure out if what's said here was said by either a little kid that doesn't really know how to talk yet or somebody who has just unlearned how to talk because they've had so much to drink. It's called Tipsy or Toddler. Mahoney and Audrey, you guys are the ones that are going to be making the guesses on these, but you also get a chance to act them out. So Mahoney, you get number one. You guys are trying to guess whether or not this is a tipsy person or a toddler. Mahoney with number one, take it away.
Number one, gas house. I want to spit, but I want to spat. But yeah, I don't want to spit because chaya. Yes, you can spit.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to go with a tipsy person.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Audrey on the board with one. Let's have a listen.
Guess how?
I want to spit, but I don't want to spit.
Yeah, but no, I don't want to spit because it's your...
No.
It's you. I can't spit.
Very nice. Yeah, it's got to be, right?
Not on the floor.
Not on the floor. Go outside.
On to number two. Audrey, take this one away.
I'm 20. I'm 30. Yeah. I want a boyfriend. Yeah. Wabert.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
That is a toddler.
Yeah.
What gave it away? What did I say that gave it away as a toddler?
You too much emphasis on the drunk. You showed your hand. Your tell. Your tell came out, Audrey.
All right, let's have a listen. Wobbert.
Oh, boy. Wobbert. That is an adorable young child.
Man, so just real quick sidebar here. This weekend, we were at a 4th of July thing, and my 18-month-old daughter met this other kid, and she walked up. Like, there was, like, two boys that were brothers, and she walked up to both of them and was like, trying to kiss both of them. And they just kind of looked at her, and then this girl came up to try to give her a hug, and she pushed the girl. I was like, "Damn, man, what is going on here?"
She knows. She's like, "Hey, don't be trying to C block. Get out of here."
Or the on to number three, the kiss block. There you go. That's more appropriate. All right, on number three, ring in by raising your hand so you do not interrupt. And Ian, keep track of who rings in first here. Number three. I'm a all in me ends. I'm evil, so
Mahoney.
That is Mahoney? A drunk person. That is a drunk person.
Yes, it is. Mahoney with two on the board. And let's have a listen for number three.
Dang. I'm all in me ends. I'm evil, so.
He's in the shower?
Who hasn't been there though? Yeah, like where you're just sitting in the shower, you're hungover or you're still kind of drunk and you're trying to sober up because you got to work in like 30 minutes.
That's my favorite move. Yep.
All right, Mahoney's on the board too. Mahoney, if you get one more correct, you are going to be the winner here, Audrey. You got to get this next one. So best of luck. Take it away there, Ian.
Clip number four. Bunch ass. What's a pony pony named Jack? Any man in the house? No, have any food or any money?
Audrey with the first ring in there.
I feel like you're trying to trick me, but I'm going to stick with my guns and I'm going to say toddler.
Toddler is correct. Yes, very nice.
Can't get anything.
Two for two.
You.
Let's have a listen.
Bunch ass. What's a pony pony named Jack? Any man in the house?
You have no food and no money. She's out in that parent.
Oh, man. All right. So two for two. It all comes down to this. Fifth and final one. And Ian, keep track one more time here.
I got this.
Best of luck. She been, and been, and before. She, whim. Oh, I got him. Yep. All right. I come in for the even.
Sorry.
See, now Mahoney did raise a finger halfway through that. Now Mahoney, are you ready with a guess?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I thought Dave was done. I didn't realize that there was going to be 38 seconds of stuttering.
An encore.
Continuing
kinda,
on.
Kind of went on there for a bit. For the win or the loss here, Mahoney, what is your guess?
For the win, that is, in fact, a tipsy person.
That is correct. Tipsy is right. Yes, you are.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable day today for him.
Three for three, baby.
Boo.
Wow.
Boom.
Wow.
Boo.
Let's have a listen.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
All right, let's get into it. Today's Redneck Report will start with a story about an Ohio couple that wanted to enjoy a Little Caesar's pizza. Unfortunately, when they opened the box, they found a swastika.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The staff at this Little Caesar's had created a swastika out of pepperoni. And that's one thing that we talk about a lot on this show. The good thing about dumb racists is that they're dumb.
Yes.
There's
no high-level racists out there who are really, you know, like changing the world for, you know, like. But yes, these idiots are outing themselves. But like, here's the thing. Like, we've asked this question 1,000 times. How did you grow up in America thinking that Nazis were good? Every movie ever, every video game ever, the one common enemy that we've all decided that, like, we will never forgive
Bad.
Are Nazis.
Little Caesars came out and said, "We have zero tolerance for racism and discrimination in any form. These franchise store employees were immediately terminated. This is conduct that is completely against our values," because of course they did.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Good.
Speaking of pizzas, a man shot a pizzeria after a dispute over toppings. A 44-year-old by the name of Michael Brown was arrested on multiple felony charges following a violent confrontation on Monday afternoon at a Pie Fi's restaurant in Arkansas. According to the Little Rock Police Department, him and a female acquaintance placed an order, and Brown became upset because the portion size was too small. Specifically, Brown thought that he was shorted on pizza toppings. When he asked to speak with the manager, somebody called the supervisor, handed the phone to Brown. He subsequently threw the phone at the woman who had handed it to him, striking her on the side of the face, and they began arguing outside. He then retreated to his work van and walked back to the business holding a gun. He was unable to enter the pizzeria since they locked the door. Unable to gain entry, he just shot the glass of the front door out. He then drove away from the restaurant in a white van carrying the name of his drain cleaning business on the side, along with the company's 800 number. He was arrested and charged with 6 felony terrorist act counts and misdemeanor battery as well. So, whew, good job, buddy. Way to not only not get your pizza, but also get hit with a whole bunch of charges.
I mean, I can understand the extra cheese, because in the end, you've worked in the pizza industry. So let's be honest. I'm a man who likes a lot of cheese. And there's nothing worse than a pizza what are you going to do with all that cheese? But there is nothing worse than somebody than a pizza with not enough cheese. So sometimes I will order 2 to 4 times more cheese on my pizza, depending on the day.
4 times.
It happens. It happens. Jeez. Believe me,
but
it really does.
I feel like a lot of the times there's no difference between 2 and 4X. I feel like they just pocket that extra cheese money, and I don't get the extra 4 times the extra cheese that I indeed ordered.
So because of this, you understand the feelings of wanting to go to some said business and slap a pizza up against somebody's face and then pull a gun?
Maybe not that extent, but I would maybe a strongly worded review on Yelp or
Star
Google. I would think, but also like I mean, as a guy who knows how to whose business is literally like drain cleaning, could you find a way to like make your business go down the drain any more than, you know, robbing or threatening with, you know?
Yeah, no, he did it right. If you're going to torch things, do it in one fell swoop with no real upside. Good thinking, pal. And finally, because, of course, this story is something that we have to read today, 42-year-old Florida man suffered a severe injury to his right hand from an exploding firework just before 9:30 p.m. on Friday, July 3rd. In this particular story, he blew his entire hand off. He was transported by an ambulance to a trauma alert center. His condition is now unknown. 13,000 injuries sustained from fireworks in the United States annually. Nearly one-third of those were inflicted to a hand or a finger. In this case, it was the entire hand, which is what he lost in the accident. How do you ever recover from that?
You don't.
I mean, was it which hand? Do we know which hand it was?
Of course it was the right hand. Of course
it was,
right?
Strange days ahead.
Exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Who's that?
Stranger danger. Oh, that's me again.
That's so mysterious.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
When was the last time any of you went on a bender? Also, what the hell is the definition of a bender? Like, is it a couple of days or, like, maybe a week long?
Message deleted.
I don't think any of us have been on a bender, like, a couple of days. Like, a bender for us, and I don't want to speak for Ian and Audrey because they are both under 30, but a bender's like, you know, I mean, that's where you're down for a couple of days, not like you're out for a couple of days.
Well, no, the bender part is when you're out for a couple of days, and that leads to you being down for a couple of days.
You're out for a night, and you go hard a night, and then you're down for a couple of days. That's a bender, in my opinion.
Well, how do you define
a
bender?
A bender is multiple days.
Yeah, it's multiple days, right? Yeah. So for me, it's never been – there's one time where I stayed up all night partying, and then it just carried into the next day once. Exactly. I can one time ever. And then I was like, that's never happening again. That was terrible. But I mean, I've definitely had those days where like you're drinking, you party, and then you wake up the next day and it's still the weekend. And so you just kind of resume drinking again. And then it just, you get back into it. Yeah. I mean, that's not so few and far between that. I couldn't even tell you how many times that's happened because sure. But do I make a point of that? Like to do that on a regular basis? No, because I'm with you, Mahoney. The whole like 3 to 5 days of regret is not worth it.
No, man. If I drank for multiple days, like if I went hard for multiple days, like I would probably die. My body would just stop. It's like it's already hanging on. Like this is not, you know, exactly a well-run machine. This is like I'm like a used Toyota, like 86 Toyota that hasn't had its oil changed in like 30,000 miles. It still runs, but it ain't running optimally.
Yeah. Gunn said, at my age, a bender is essentially any drinking that starts when the sun is up and ends when it isn't.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
I feel you.
Although day drinking is pretty fun. Like, yeah,
it's the best kind of drinking.
Yeah. But not hard liquor, though. That's the difference.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Hell yeah, hard liquor. What do you mean? Like, if you get, like, a cute little, like, I don't even know, something fun and flirty in your cup and it's like a brunch action.
No.
Oh, hell yeah. Then you go home and just take a little naparoo around 3 o'clock, wake up. And feel the hangover by 7 p.m. You're like, oh, dang. And then you're normal by the next day.
Man, that is the one good thing about Bloody Marys is that you can't drink like more than two of them because they go down real easy sometimes.
Especially when you have A1 in them. Like, yeah, they're
so good.
So slow to drink.
Horseradish. Mm.
Oh, so good. And just put all the, go ahead, like the bacon and the huge stalk of celery gumbo for no reason at all. It's give it to
pepperoni
me.
Straw. Pepperoni straw is the real game changer.
How do you guys feel about men that cheat on their wives? Because I'm indifferent. I don't know. I'm about to get married. I think like open relationships are cool, but at the same time, make that commitment.
Message deleted.
If it's an open relationship, then it's not cheating. That's what. That's
hey bud, if you're about to get married, you should probably have this conversation before you get married, not after.
Also, I don't care what people do in their own private relationships, just as long as they're not hurting anybody else. You do,
yeah.
It's like,
yes.
Like also,
it's like the
I
whole
also
thing with Will Smith, how that guy came out and he's like, "Yeah, I was sleeping with Jada 3 years ago, and you know, I love her so." No, you're trying to sell albums, is what you're doing. And also, it's nobody's business if Will and Jada have some sort of agreement where they're allowed to do whatever they want. Like, that's nobody's business. They don't owe anyone an explanation, and it's a dirtbag move that this guy's trying to run that out there to sell his crappy music.
But I also don't like I don't like people pushing their morality onto other people, you know? Like if you have a relationship that exists in your own way and it works, who cares, man? Like, I don't.
Well, then it's
like,
not cheating.
Like, I feel like the people who get so upset by the people who are, like, swingers or, like, open relationships are, like, people who, like, dudes who want to bang other chicks, but they're married and they're just jealous that they can't. I feel like there's a lot of that going on, and I feel like that's the same. I feel like there's a lot of that kind of like jealous, you know, morality projecting that exists in this country, and it's not cool. Same thing with like, you know, the incel dudes who get mad at, you know, like the women who are able to openly and express their sexuality, you know, in a way that they want. They're like, oh, that's slut. You would be doing the same thing if you had the opportunity. You just don't because you're a piece of garbage. So it's like, I feel like a lot of this is generated from jealousy and just the lack of being able to do it themselves.
Well, to answer that guy's question, being in an open relationship is different than being a cheater. And I think that there's one of two things. Either one, your relationship is already done in your mind and that's why you're wanting to cheat. Or two, you just have weak moments and you don't know really how to pump the brakes.
Yeah, so I think the person who said it best was Alice Cooper all those years ago, because he, you know, talking about being a rock star and everything, and normally I don't take a lot of quotes from Alice Cooper that seriously, but in this case, he's like 5 minutes of pleasure, no matter how incredible it is not worth all the heartache that's going to come along with it. Even if you are done with a relationship, like you being the one that cheated and having that guilt and, you know, the process of breaking up and all that stuff, it just sucks, right? And you can say, you know, a night of pleasure or whatever it might be. Let's not kid ourselves. It's probably between 5 and 25 minutes And it's probably not worth
what
it.
Kind of world yeah, that's that.
I'm talking about on the high end here, Mahoney. Maybe if there's, you know, an episode of Modern Family that you watch. You're just like, come on, man. Come on.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How are you guys feeling about sports right now? I know you're both big fans and, you know, have known to place a wager or two here and there. Are you just over it? Let me know.
Message deleted.
Over what? Sports betting? No.
Oh, man. I wish
not over
was
sports
more.
Betting. It's a, what? Yeah, like, it's, the only thing my problem is that there's not enough stuff to bet on.
Yeah, golf is the only thing that's out there right now.
Golf and fighting, and that's about it. Yep.
Which I am looking forward to the fight this weekend. You know, I'm not like UFC's been kind of eh over the last couple of years, in my opinion. But the, you know, occasionally there's some fights that come along, and Jorge Masvidal versus Usman, like that is gonna be. Yeah. It's either gonna be one of the most amazing fights ever, or one of the most boring because Usman's just gonna just smother Masvidal the entire fight. But that is the card I'm looking forward to.
They hate each other, and yeah, that's a good fight. I'll watch that one for sure.
Why does it feel like?
I like it whenever they hate each other. I like the aggression and the tension between the two, especially whenever they don't even
sometimes
like
they don't
bump knucks. Oh, I love it.
But sometimes they like those fights like that where there's so much emotions that it just leads to kind of like a boring standoff.
Yeah, but not Masvidal. Last time you hate, you're talking smack on. Yeah, but Masvidal last time that he got into something like this with somebody, it was against Ben Askren, and he starched him.
That was a freak.
13 seconds.
That was a freak.
Whatever, man. It was still awesome. And then he said they're making fun of him after the fact.
He's like down on the ground.
I still think Askren wins that fight.
Was it even
13
seconds? I thought it was like three.
No, it was. It was like he ran across the cage, and yeah, it was one of the fastest knockouts in the UFC history. But some good stuff right there, man.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, an Instagram star. It's a Nigerian dude named Ray Hushpuppy. He's been flaunting his Rolls Royces and his watches, designer clothing.
Dave, it's Hushpuppy with an I, though.
With an eye, that's right, yeah.
Not a Y.
All sorts of stuff on Instagram is now facing money laundering conspiracy charges in the United States, according to the Department of Justice. So this guy appeared in a federal court in Chicago on Friday. He's accused of conspiring to launder hundreds of millions of dollars through cybercrime schemes. According to a federal affidavit, one of the alleged victims is a New York-based law firm that lost nearly $1 million in 2019. Hey, man, just I'm going to go on the record here. If you're going to swindle people out of large sums of money, including $1 million from one victim, maybe let's make sure it's not a law firm that is loaded with lawyers that just want to wreck your life if they figure out that you are stealing from them.
Wreck
but yeah,
his
sure enough,
life and everybody who's involved with this, man. If you are a scammer. And, you know, you were so, like, these are the people who prey not only, I mean, obviously this is a law firm here, but these are the people who prey on our grandparents, man. And there is nothing worse than people who are preying on the elderly to try to take their, they worked for decades and decades and decades and finally have a chance to retire or hopefully retire and you're trying to steal their savings. Man, rotten hell. Like, I feel like the level of punishment does not fit most of these crimes because I've seen so many cases, even one that we've been involved in personally, where my wife's information was skimmed and tried to use as a to create fake accounts and tried to steal her identity. The guys just get off. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, they need to make the punishment way steeper. If you're going to try to steal somebody's life, maybe it should cost yours.
Okay.
What do you mean? I mean, like, you're trying to ruin
someone. Kill him? What do you mean? Kill him?
Or spend the rest of your life in jail.
Well, I mean, this guy, he is facing
he's facing
20 years in prison. I mean, I'd say that's pretty substantial.
Yeah. Millions of dollars? Nah, that ain't enough.
Yeah. So a AI robot named Erica has been cast as the lead in a film that is going to cost about $100 million. It's titled Bee. It's being lauded as the first major film of its kind to cast an AI lead. So the film's being backed by Bondit Capital Media, who worked on the Oscar-nominated animated movie back in 2017 called Loving Vincent. So the fact that they're putting basically a robot, not even basically, a robot, as the lead for this movie is something else. It's the first time anything has been done even remotely on this scale.
Man, what about R2-D2? Is he not a robot?
Not the lead, but...
He's still the lead in my book.
But I mean, it was still a person inside of it, right? It was just a person dressed up like a robot. This is an actual robot.
I thought in the earlier ones, but I don't know about the later ones. I've got nothing.
There was always a little person inside of them.
Can we
stop giving jobs to robots? This is going to be a real problem. Like, I mean, like the jobs we can especially, we're automating so much of so many things right now. Can we stop giving jobs that like really don't need robots? Can we stop giving those jobs to robots?
Getting Westworld vibes, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if the robots are doing that, I mean, I wouldn't mind more of those.
Oh, no. Okay.
What, then they're going to murder
freaky,
you?
Freaky, horny robots. That's fun.
Revolt
whatever.
And then start a...
What, the freaky, horny ones? Not the ones that are going to take a job. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why we're not on board with the freaky, horny robots is because they're just not hot enough. Like, in Westworld, they were hot, and everyone's like, well, that's an interesting place to go visit. But, you know... In real life, they're not actually hot. They're all creepy looking. So there's a difference. Once they get hot enough, you'll be down. Don't lie. No, don't be down. No, come
I'm
on.
I'm never banging a toaster. Not happening.
You're already pleasuring yourself to a machine as it is. What do you think sitting there staring at Pornhub is?
Dave. I just go back to a thing called memory, and I remember all the fond times of my lovely wife
up.
And myself.
Shut
all of a sudden,
up.
Right there. Grandma walks into the memory, and you're going, Grandma, get out of here.
Keep it all natural.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this is a pretty unbelievable story. Ringo Starr said the Beatles turned down a reunion gig because there was a great white shark wrestler that was going to be the opening act for them. So they were offered a lot of money, and wait till you hear this amount. But there's some dude who, again, was going to wrestle a great white shark as like the opening act for this particular event. Ringo Starr just came out and said they were offered $250 million for the reunion show back in 1976. So imagine the inflation between that.
Like
so
$1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess the $250 million. No, excuse me. So the $250 million is with the inflation factored in, right? So they were offered $50 million, but because of the inflation, that's being offered $250 million today, and they passed on it.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I mean, was this in Japan? Really, because where else is somebody wrestling a great white shark? Also,
Florida.
like is the... is this wrestling match taking place on land or in like a tank? You know, I'd much rather see that than the Beatles reunion.
This is Little Rock, Arkansas, is where this
happened. Okay. Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Of course, yeah.
Busting the sharks.
Yeah. So the bubonic plague has been discovered in China. Yay! So as if we needed something else for 2020, China appears to have reduced the coronavirus cases to near zero, but now there's other infections that are threatening the rest of the world, and the local health authorities announced a suspected bubonic plague case in the Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region. So authorities in this particular district raised the plague warning on Sunday, ordering residents not to hunt wild animals such as marmots and to send for treatment for anyone with a fever or showing possible signs of infection. So the plague can be fatal in up to 90% of people infected if not treated, primarily with several types of antibiotics. But yeah, the plague can develop from the bubonic plague and result in severe lung infections causing shortness of breath, headache, and coughing. So, yeah, here we go in 2020, and Staggs over on Twitter said, it's July of 2020, Kanye West is running for president, and the bubonic plague is now a thing. As if this year couldn't get much weirder, this is where we are.
Yeah, we don't need any more of this nonsense to happen in 2020. I mean, I know that there was some bad stuff going on in 2019 and 2018 and 2017 and 2016, but can we just chill out with the global pandemics and the bringing back of the plagues? Also, I agree with the Inner Mongolian Autonomous Territory or region, whatever it's called. Don't hunt marmots. Marmots ain't never done nothing to you. They are lovely animals.
Can we just stop hunting weird animals to begin with? Yeah, I mean, like the whole wet market thing, the idea of let's have a bunch of like dogs and cats and bats and all that stuff. Can we just stick with chicken? Is that okay? Like, can we just all eat Impossible Burgers if it means that we're not going to get the bubonic plague? Because I feel like that's the direction that I'm willing to go at this point.
Yeah, I feel like Impossible Burger is going to see a spike in China. And if not, they need to, because we just need to leave all of that alone for a second.
Yeah, man.
Two.
And finally, police are searching for an arson suspect in Northeast Philadelphia who accidentally set himself on fire.
Good.
Authorities released surveillance video Tuesday from the incident, which happened on June 19th. It was about 1 a.m. when the video shows the man pouring a flammable liquid onto bushes next to a house. He then ignited the fire. The video shows the flames shooting from the bushes and then onto the suspect himself. He runs off, and then he can actually be seen stop, dropping, and rolling on the ground. Police say the suspect got away in a car that was last seen later that night, but I was talking about that, I think, with you guys, right, the other day, like things that we learned in school that we never put to use, like trigonometry is towards the top of the list. And also stop, drop, and roll is another one of those things. Thankfully, never had to use it.
Well, but Dave, that's one of those ones you hope you never have to use. But when you do, you need to use it. For the one time that you are caught on fire, I would say that has paid off, right? But
pretty handy. Good to have that in the back pocket. Should be necessary, yeah.
But I love the instant karma, this guy trying to burn down some stuff and then immediately catches on fire. Like, I love that so much.
I mean, it's just so sweet. Yeah, I mean, you're trying to burn down somebody else's house? Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to burn somebody else's stuff down and you die while trying to do it, I got zero sympathies for you.
I don't even want him to die. I just want him to burn his wiener off.
I hope his name was Carl. Call it a Carlbecue.
Setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Nevada to me.